You call us out from the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone. No weapon form shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We overcome. Your glory resounds through the years. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken, we will not fear. Glory resounds through the age. We'll cease declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fail. Cause our God's a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph.
Our home. never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save, forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the fears and failure, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I
the one who made the deaf to hear, is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of reaching out.
Come on and put your hands together for the King. I feel the atmosphere shifting even as we sing this song. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles and soar. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. I believe some of us have been waiting on miracles. I believe some of us have been waiting on the Lord. And as we sing this song, we are declaring a shift in the atmosphere. We are declaring a shift in our lives. We are declaring that miracle. We are declaring that which is not as though it were. So we're going to sing this again. And I want you to sing it with expectation. Let's sing it with all our strength. Come on, let's sing it out to the Lord. You are the God of miracles. Go ahead and sing it out. Hallelujah. Just keep singing that. Keep singing it.
I believe in you.
We believe in you, Jesus.
I believe in you.
We believe in you, Father.
You're the God of miracles.
Keep singing. Keep singing.
I believe in you.
Holy Spirit, I ask you to move right now. I ask you to release miracles all over this room right now. Father, I ask you, Lord, the things that the enemy has been holding back from your people, I declare them loosed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for releasing miracles. We thank you for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Keep singing, keep singing, keep singing. Some of you need to take this moment and begin to intercede right now. Begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Corre sandere di arrasandere di aishande bobo bocosa. Si corro carranda le aishande. Si carranda bababayas. Jesus. Jesus.
all your needs. Don't turn the other way. Don't look upon the world, but come to me. It's only me that you need. He's calling you. He's calling you. He says, come to me, only me. Don't look upon the world. Look upon me. There's nothing that this world can give you that I can't give you. I can give you all. I can give you eternal life. He says, come to me. God is calling you. God is calling you. God, we thank you and we thank you and we thank you. He only wants you. He doesn't want this, but he wants you.
Sing them with me, please.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
He's listening to you sing, church.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God.
One more time, nice and strong. Father, we thank you that you are the God of miracles. We thank you that there is nothing too hard for you. We thank you that you are our mighty, strong tower, that you desire us, that you beckon us to come to you, that you invite us into your at your table to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we say yes to your invitation. We say yes to your will, Father. We say yes to your love. Wrap your arms around us. Comfort us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. God is so good. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online today, thank you for joining us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. You can give by text, you can give on our My Church app, or you can do so on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And if you're in the building, we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your gift in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
is fantastic to see you back yet again. It is I, Dr. Smarty Pants, here, and I just want to let you know that it has been my distinguished honor to be with you for the last 3 weeks as we have been learning about wisdom. Over the past week, I have learned that wise people know how to ask the right questions, and they know who to ask the questions to if they want to get an accurate answer. Now, before we continue, I know what many of you are thinking. Dr. Smarty Pants, if we have any question at all, couldn't we just ask you? I mean, you are the knower of all things. But alas, as much as I hate to admit it, there are things that even a smarty pants doesn't know. So to help us understand the importance of questions, I thought we would bring a guest on who most of you can relate to. And here he is now. Farmer Jackson. Farmer Jackson, would you say hello to the audience, please?
Hello.
Well, Farmer Jackson, my research shows that you spend much of your day in the fields growing crops. Would you like to show us a few things that you have grown?
I can grow grapes.
Oh, you like growing grapes?
Yeah, and I can grow some squash.
Oh, and you grow squash.
And we can also grow some animal crackers.
You grow animal crackers. Do they come on a tree?
I think they do.
Well, it takes some talent indeed to grow those. And also, I see that you are somewhat of an animal expert. It says here that you know virtually everything about all kinds of animals. So to help us understand the importance of questions, I thought we would play a little game today. Farmer Jackson, here's how this is going to work. I am going to think of an animal. I will show the animal to the audience, and then I will give you a small clue describing a certain characteristic of that animal. Then I will allow you to ask questions to me, and based on my answers, let's see if you can determine what animal I speak of. Everyone ready? Okay. Here we go. Audience, here is a picture of animal number one. Now, Farmer Jackson, let me give you a hint for the first animal. He is rather large and he is gray. You can ask your questions when you're ready.
Does he have a trunk?
Does he have a trunk? Why, yes, he does have a trunk.
Does he have tusks?
Does he have tusks? Yes, he does have tusks.
Does he have giant enormous feet?
Does he have enormous feet? Yes, I believe he does have giant feet.
A Yeti.
Oh, let's see, audience. He thinks it's a Yeti. Is that correct? Farmer Jackson, would you like to take another guess? You are the animal expert. What could it be?
An elephant.
Oh, it's an elephant. I think that is correct. Let's try another animal. Here we go, audience. Animal number two. Farmer Jackson, here is your clue. Animal number two is very tall.
Does he have a tail?
Does he have a tail? Yes, he does have a tail.
Does he have a long neck?
I do believe he does have a long neck.
Does he have a big, big body?
Why, yes, he does have an enormous body.
Does he have giant yawn legs so he can run on grass in?
Does he? He does. He has long legs to run in the grassland.
That's easy, a giraffe.
Oh, it is a giraffe. My goodness, you are an animal expert, Farmer Jackson. Great guess there.
I see how the questions that you ask helped you focus in on exactly what that animal was. Very wise questions indeed. Let's do one final animal. Let's think here. Okay, audience, here is animal number 3.
Does that real, real big tail?
Does he have a really big tail? It is quite long, and it does wag quite a bit.
Does it have a big face?
Does it have a really big face? It does have a face, and it is smushed in quite flat.
I think it's a puppy.
You believe it's a puppy? Well, Farmer Jackson, you got it correct yet again. It is indeed a puppy. I must say I'm not a fan of the smushed face, but so many of you are. Farmer Jackson, what if your mother and father are not around? Is there someone who can always answer any question that you have?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is someone. Would you by chance know who that is?
God.
Oh, you say that God can answer questions. Let me see. Rather than going around and asking, individuals who we know will give us just the answer we want to hear, I think it would indeed be very wise if instead we would take our questions to God. Because God will always have the answer that you need. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for going on this learning adventure with me. I do indeed believe we have all come out wiser than when we began. And if there's one thing I, Dr. Smarty Pants, have learned, it is that no matter how smart we think we are, there are always things we will need help with. And a wise person will always lean on God.
See ya, boys and girls.
So today in our final week of our series, Wise, we are learning that we can ask God our questions. We have a little game for all of us to play today really quick. Has there ever been something that you've heard that made you question if it was really true or not? I've got some things that I question if they're true. So I'm going to read it, and if you think it's true, you're going to give a thumbs up. If you think it's not true, you're going to give a thumbs down. All right, so here's the first thing. Penguins can smell toothpaste from miles away. True or not true? That one is not true, actually. They cannot smell toothpaste from miles away. In Tokyo, Japan, a bicycle is faster than a car for trips of less than 50 minutes. True or not true? That is true. I would not want to live in Tokyo. All right, here we go. 50 years ago, M&Ms were candy-coated peas during a chocolate shortage. Candy-coated peas, true or not true? That is thankfully not true. That is not true. All right. Let's see. A violin contained about 70 pieces of wood. True or not true? 70 pieces of wood. That is true. That is true. All right. When glass breaks, the cracks move faster than 3,000 miles per hour. True, not true. That is actually true. All right, and I have one more. In Japan, they have square watermelons there because they stack better. Square watermelons. True or not true? Believe it or not, that's actually true. They have square watermelons because they stack better. I don't know about you, but when I read especially the last one, that makes me question if it's really true or not. And like that today, you know, sometimes we think it's not okay to question God, to come to God with questions, but that's not true. We can ask God our questions. In our story today, we're moving on from Solomon and talking about Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, he learned more about Jerusalem and how the walls are in terrible shape. The city is in terrible shape, and he is very sad. And he decides to go to the king because Nehemiah did not live in Jerusalem. He lived in a place called Persia, very far away. He worked for the king. He went into the king one day that he was working, and the king could tell he was sad. And he asked the king, and the king said, what's the matter, Nehemiah? And he said, well, I really want to go back to Jerusalem. And the king, because Nehemiah had prayed for favor, the king said, yes, you can go back to Jerusalem. Well, Nehemiah had prayed and he had done the hard work of praying to ask God to help him. And so not only did the king allow him to go, but the king was going to help him get there. Nehemiah asked some big questions. One thing he asked for the king to send some letters with him to help him get supplies. And everything he asked the king granted him. If we continue on, the first of all, before we continue on with our story, I ask a few of our kids to answer the question, if you could ask God anything, what would you ask him?
One thing to ask God, it would be when the rapture is happening. See y'all.
How do you create things? My question will be, will the world ever be at peace?
My question is, will wars ever stop?
Will we ever be able to live on Saturn's moon?
If I could ask God any question, I would ask him, what is it like to have so many children?
One thing to ask God, it would be when the rapture
happens. Those are some thought-provoking questions. If you think about the story of in the New Testament in Matthew, and Jesus, he had sent the disciples on the boat onto the Sea of Galilee. He stayed behind to send the crowds away. He looks after he goes up for prayer. He comes down and he looks and he sees them. The boat is way far out and it's being tossed on the stormy sea. And Jesus walks out onto the water to where the disciples were, and they thought they saw a ghost. They were terrified. Well, Peter says, Lord, is it you? He asked a good question. And Jesus said, it's me. And Peter said, if it's you, then ask me to come out there. And Jesus says, yes, come out. And so Peter steps out into the water and he starts walking towards Jesus, but he looks around and realizes the wind and the waves, and he loses his faith and he becomes afraid. And instead of Jesus being angry, when Peter starts sinking, he calls out, help, save me. And Jesus immediately grabs him. Jesus could have said, you don't have any faith, you're on your own. But instead, he saved him immediately. You know, Peter asked some questions. He had some doubt, but Jesus still loved him, and Jesus showed us that it's okay to have questions. And whatever our questions are, we can always go to God, because the more we question and the more we know God, then the more we can know about him. Let's pray right now and just thank him that he always hears our questions. God, we just thank you so much that no matter what our questions are, no matter what we are concerned about, God, that you hear us, you listen to our questions. God, that you are the source for our answers. God, we thank you so much for that example. And we thank you that you love us enough. You love us more than we can ever imagine. In your name we pray. Amen. Next Sunday, we are beginning to start opening some forms of our kids' church back. We will begin on Sundays to have kids' church for ages 3 to 7. And we will beginning at the beginning of service. So as soon as you arrive here at church at 9:45, we're going to open up the upstairs for you to be able to bring your kids up there to the classroom. We'll be releasing a video this week with some more information on check-in and how to, you know, as safe as possible to check your kids in. You'll receive a barcode and a link that will just make things a whole lot easier and smoother next Sunday. On Wednesdays, we will begin having kids ministry for all ages starting October the 7th. So we're excited about that. Just take a look at this week at the Facebook page and you'll find out more information. Thank you.
Thank you, Miranda. Well, that was interesting questions, wasn't it? I enjoy those questions. And Pastor pulled up quickly a picture of a square watermelon. And so I guess they grow all their watermelons in a mold. That's interesting. Anyway, I actually like the M&M candy-coated peas because, you know, there is a Chinese pea that I love. They're dried green peas that have like a wasabi coating on them, and I am so in love with those, and they are so good. So I would definitely try a candy-coated pea, but anyway, that's all right. how are you doing today? Raise your hand if you enjoyed the worship today. Yes. Yes, I want to hear a little hoot hoot out there because I enjoyed it. It was good to me. It was exactly what I needed this morning, and it's actually exactly what I need every day. And I'll tell you something, as I sat there, I thought, this is so good when we get together and we worship, but we worship every day in our living. We worship every day in how we respond. We worship during our prayer time. We worship in the car when we turn our Christian music on. And anyway, that was kind of my thought. I thought, you know, we worship all ways throughout the week in different ways. But I love it when we all join together and we worship together, because the excitement and the spirit that is felt is just great, the unity that is felt here. So I just loved worship today. I love it every Sunday. And anyway, it's one of my favorite things about church. So if you came in late, you really missed it. And ladies, I just wanted to kind of remind you of something that's taking place. We're actually starting our Leap into Love Bible study on October the 5th. And we don't know all the details yet because it's a new type of study. It's going to be through a social media platform. So ladies, please contact Elaine if you're interested in getting in that Bible study. Also, you can go to your Facebook and hit, I just typed in LEAP and it came up, CSIC, Leap into Love Bible Study. And so that was wonderful. And then you can join there. Elaine will open you up to that group. It is a closed group. So when we have conversation through that, it will be closed. So it will be private. And there's only enough places for 50 women. And there's already 35 on there. So ladies, get involved. Get this extra Bible study. It's going to be Mondays through Fridays, and it's going to last for 20 days. That's 4 weeks. So commit to that, because I think it's going to be very good. I'm excited about it because, women, have you ever stood in front of the mirror, tried on about 5 outfits before you found one that you thought you would be able to step out the door with? Yes, have you ever been disgusted and frustrated about who you are, what you look like, and not know quite where you are? Well, this study is for you. Take the leap. Get involved. Just want to show you the book. I love the book cover. Leap into Love, and you know it's got that coral pink that I love. Living present to my purpose on the planet. Don't you want to live present? You want to be present. You want to be involved. You want to be active. You want to do your part as God calls you to do on the planet. And you want to be comfortable and confident while you're doing that. This book is for you. This Bible study is for you. I'm very excited. Also, we have the cutest mugs. A little pink, a little zebra. Come on, girls. And it says, leap. Every day when you pour that cup of coffee and you sip and you realize, yes, I'm taking the leap. I'm not going to believe what Satan puts in my head. I'm not going to believe what the social atmosphere, the environment, the world gives me. I'm going to believe what Christ gives me. I'm going to believe what God intended for my life. It's not about the things that I see on television. It's not about the wonderful things that people put on social media. And it's not about the negative things that the devil places in our head. We are wonderfully and beautifully made for a purpose. And women, it's our time to stand our ground and live with purpose again. Leap into love. You need to do this, ladies. Get involved.
Praise God. Come on, just stand with me one more time and just lift your hands for a moment. And come on, just invite His presence into your spirit, into your mind, into your heart. Just a great time of worship this morning. I was just immensely blessed to see the gifts of the Spirit released in Kaesia. Kaesia, that's the first time that you've experienced that interpretation of a tongue. Can I just tell you that in these days in which we're facing, the church that excels, come on, somebody say, the church that excels is going to be the church that seeks the Lord in revival, the church that seeks the Lord and doesn't get caught up, come on, doesn't get caught up in what's happening in the world. Turn the TV off. Don't listen to that stuff. You got a telephone. You can go to the phone. You know what I do? I get up in the morning and I just hit the words Trump news. Okay? Trump news. Biden news. And I choose to listen to what I want to listen to. Okay? Weather. I told my wife on the way to church this morning, I said, I feel so much better on a 40-day fast. Feel so much better that I haven't listened to what CNN had to say. I haven't listened to what Fox had to say. I choose to read what I want to read, listen to what I want to listen to. Because let me just tell you something, and I know this for a fact. If you choose to just incline your ear to the message the world has, they will lock you in and leave you alone to struggle. Come on, I'm just telling you. They'll lock you in your home and leave you alone to struggle. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Come on, thank you. Thank you for being in worship. I'm still passing by churches every Sunday. Passed by one this morning. People dragging stuff out of the building. Out into the yard. Church on the yard, 10 o'clock. Dragging all the stuff out of the church. And if you're listening to me and you say, well, we're doing that, get over it. I'm just asking you, get over it. Because you know what? The thing of it is, the world doesn't want you to gather in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They don't. Church in the yard, church in the parking lot, church online. And every week I hear in my spirit the Lord say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And you know, you say, well, you're being awful critical. Get over that, okay? I have an opinion just like you do and others do. And I think that the world has done its very best to just stifle the breath of the church. And we need to wake up We need to wake up and realize that we're living in the last of the last days, the birth pains of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And one thing you better do is get your house in order. You better make sure that you've settled everything. You better make sure that your heart is clean and pure before God. And there's nothing wrong with you exercising caution and care. I respect the mask. I do. I respect the sanitizer. I do. I respect gathering like this. We have two machines. Spent a lot of money this year on just keeping things clean. We have two machines going that are purifying the atmosphere when you walk into this building. So I respect all that. But you're not going to run me home and keep me captive in my house and say I can't go to church. You just can't do that. And I don't understand people. I don't understand people who can go every. Some of you are listening to me online right now. You go everywhere else in the world. I've seen people from our church right here. Oh, Pastor, I'll be back when all this is over. And you look and they're gathering with large groups and family reunions and weddings and everything else. But you don't see them in the pews at all. Go ahead. Go ahead and let the enemy steal from you the very thing that God wants you to participate in. As for me and my house, come on, we're going to serve the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. Can I get a few people just to take a minute or two and express to the Lord, he is good. He is good. His truth and his mercy endures forever. And I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful. I said this morning when I stepped out on my yard for just a moment, and I said, here I am, you know, on the banks of the Chowan River, and I'm watching a little tugboat go by heading to Nucor Steel. I said, the thing of it is, I see this tugboat every day. And they're going, where are they going? They know where they're going. They're going to Nucor. They're going to get a load, and they're going to push that barge back. And they know where they're going. They know what their destiny is. They know what their assignment is. And when the storm comes out on the river, the tugboat don't say, oh, let me stop. When the storms in your life come, you can't stop, church. You can't quit. You can't give up. You've got to go because you know who you're going for. You've got to understand your destiny. And that's why, listen, we're blessed. I had three vendors just this past week to just call the church and call me and beg, could we give away food at your church? In July, we gave over $100,000 worth of food away from this church. And you know what we paid for it? $1,000. Didn't have to do that. I said, hey, let me give you an honorarium here for what you've done. Three calls this past week. Hey, would you like to make a commitment in October to give away a load of meats, vegetables, and dairy? 30-pound boxes of meat, vegetables, and fruits, and dairy products. I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. They said, how many times would you like to do it? I said, at least once a week. What day? How about Thursday? So for the next several Thursdays in October, we're going to give away again thousands of dollars. And I said, God, what are you doing? The Lord's favor rests upon us. You know why? Because we're not scared. We're not afraid to say, oh, come on. Come on out here. We'll bless you. We read thank you notes this morning from organizations in which we called and said, hey, we want to share the wealth with you. We want to share the blessings that God has given you. Organizations, I won't call their name, but they wrote us letters saying, Carpenter Shop Church, thank you for sharing your blessings with us. We didn't have to do that. After I got the calls just this past week, you know what I did? I got off the phone. I started calling pastors. Hey, would you like to give away food this month? Because you know why? Because we're not scared. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We want to give. Now's the time to give. Now's the time to reach in your pocket. Give not just the tithe, but give the offerings. Watch God multiply what you do. Watch him multiply. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness in giving your tithes. Your faithfulness in giving your offerings. You know why? Because we're able to do more than we ever imagined we could do during this season. God, I just want to bless you today. I just want to bless you, and I bless your people today for their faithfulness. Thank you, God, for those that are here in this facility. Thank you, God, for those that are watching online, but thank you, Lord, for those that are contemplating right now because of what is said this morning. I think I need to get back in church. Thank you, God, for those who are coming. Thank you for new faces who have come during the pandemic. They've just started coming to church during the worst possible time. Thank you for those new families, those new faces, those new people, those new souls. Thank you for people who were born again in the revival. Thank you, God, for opportunities to take your kingdom further, God, in this next season. I bless your people today. Thank you for their faithfulness and their generosity. Thank you for resources more than we could ever imagine. Thank you for the favor that not only surrounds us like a shield, but causes us to be an effective church during this challenging time. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' strong name. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in his presence. God bless you. So glad to be back with you. I missed you, but you know what I did when I was gone? I watched the service online. Come on, somebody. Pastor Bernie did an incredible job last Sunday bringing the Word of God. Come on, give it up for Pastor Bernie. I told him when I was on the phone with him, I said, hey, man, you're just a seasoned preacher. Listen, you can listen to somebody and tell when they've got longevity in serving the Lord and communicating the truth of the gospel. Thank you, Pastor Bernie. Transforming a territory. This is what our mission is. This is what we're here for, 903 South Catherine Creek Road. Thank God for the people who heard from the Lord years ago. Where should this church be planted? We were over by the water tower for many, many years. As a matter of fact, that's where I received. When you cross that little overpass in Ahoskie, there's a water tower to your left if you're coming this way, to your right if you're going toward the hospital. And I remember standing there as a young preacher, shaking in my boots, scared to death because I was going before the Sanhedrin. Come on. I was going before the credentials committee. And I remember Charles Cookman and Howard Fortenberry. Those are two guys that are walking the streets of gold now. They've gone on to their reward. And I remember them issuing me my first credentials to preach the gospel in Ahoskie, North Carolina. That's where I received my credentials, right over there by the water tower. A license to preach the gospel. And I remember just moving forward in what God had called me to do. And you know what? I visit that calling over and over and over again in my mind and in my spirit. And I don't take for granted where I am today. I'm blessed by God to lead you people as a senior leader of this house. I'm blessed by God to be your pastor. And I thank God for the days that he's given me. Over 29 years now, we've been serving the Lord together. And I'm excited for what God is doing in the future. I'm excited for what he's doing right now. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to go on to about a three-week journey with you in a message, series of messages that I've entitled Transforming the Territory, a Spiritual Assignment. Come on, say a spiritual assignment with me. A spiritual assignment. One more time. This is a spiritual assignment. You're not here this morning for the food. You're not here this morning for the prizes. You're not here for the games. And you're not here for the tokens that, you know, you may or may not receive. You are here today because you are a part of a spiritual assignment. Amen? Part of a spiritual assignment that God has called you to. Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Love this old story in the Old Testament. Joshua, a great leader of the Old Testament. He says, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory. Isn't it wonderful when God gives you a calling, but isn't it wonderful when he starts to give you the semantics, the details, the 1, 2, 3, the ABC. He starts giving you a delineation of things that you're going to experience. That's exactly what he tells Joshua. I want to tell you something, Joshua. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. God bothers to tell Joshua where he's going to, what land he's going to give him. Where is your assignment, Joshua? This is where it is. And he gives him the geography of that. He says in verse number 5, no one will be able. Come on, somebody say no one. no one, no pandemic, no COVID, no person, no devil, not a devil in hell. No one will be able to stand up against you, not just part of your life, all the days of your life. Come on. I wish you'd get excited with me about this. Nobody's going to be able to stand up against you, Joshua, all the days of your life. For as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And by the way, sir, be understanding of this. I will never, come on, somebody say never. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Man, it's wonderful to have a commission. It's wonderful to have a mandate from the Lord. But then for God to bring assurance into your spirit. Oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. For God to give you the assurance in the whole process that He is going to stick by your side. That He is going to have your back, that He's going to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, verse number 6, be strong and be courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. In other words, hell's not going to stop a thing here, Joshua. It's not going to stop a thing. There's nothing that can stop you from receiving all that I have for you. There's a blessing assigned to you, Joshua. It's got your name on it, and nothing is going to steal that from you. I wish we as a people of God would get a fresh revelation of God's provision and His promise and His favor and His abundance and His blessing and recognize that you, listen, if God be for you, come on, who can be against you? Amen? Nobody. He said, be very strong, be very courageous. Verse number 7, be careful. Here we go. Whoa, there's a condition here. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Uh-oh, wait a minute now. I thought it was just going to be silver platter. No. Not just, how many of you know that if you give your kids everything they want with no conditions, that you're going to raise a spoiled child? Come on. You're just going to raise a spoiled kid who never worked for anything, never had consequences to deal with. You just throw it out there for them, and you know, you're going to pay for it. They're going to learn the hard way. But he said, verse number 7, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. There's a directive right there of the Holy Spirit. Don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just keep your eyes fixed. This morning when I took that little video for Facebook, I said, look at this tugboat. He just putt down the river, knows exactly where he's going. As a matter of fact, if you did the research, the man in the boat's not even driving. He's got it set on an automated system, GPS. And every time when you get on an airplane, do you know the pilot's not flying the plane? He takes off with it, and he lands with it. The rest of it is on, listen, it's on automatic. And he might have to steer off the path a little because of unknown weather, but everything is automated. And this little boat was going down the river because it knew the destiny where which it was assigned. And God is saying to the church today, listen, I have a designated place for you to go. I have a designated people for you to be from Genesis to Revelation. Don't turn away from those things. America's in the trouble that she's in because we've turned away from God. We've turned away from God. We've shoved Him out of everything. And now we're in a place and a season of our life where we're trying to very best to just choke the church, choke the life out of the church. Send her home. Let her be scared. Let her be afraid. Someone told me just this past week, I was asking about someone who came to church here. They said, oh, Pastor, you're not going to see them. I said, why? They're scared to death. I said, well, where are they? They're home. Hadn't been out of the house since early March. Can you imagine for me just a moment what would cause a person to respond that way? Fear. Fear. To cause you to stay home. To cause you to not function. To cause you to not work the normal routines that you worked. Because you're afraid. He said, verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Isn't it interesting? He says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Because listen, life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. What did God say? Let there be. And it was. Okay? He said, don't you let this word depart from your mouth. In other words, meditate on it day and night. I left out of the house today to come to church. We got everything loaded up, you know. We got Joy, you got everything? Yeah. Did you get my computer? No, I didn't get your computer. So I went back in and got the computer. When we stepped off of the porch of my house, I said, Lord, I just thank you for blessing my house, keeping it safe while I'm gone. Help us to get safe there on the journey this morning. We just bless you today in Jesus' name. Just a casual prayer. Watch over my house. Watch over my possessions. I've got insurance on it. I got a mask. Okay. I got insurance policies going to keep it protected in case there's a fire, in case there's a break-in, in case there's some impending weather that we didn't know anything about. I still got insurance on it, but I'm still asking the God who gave it to me to start with, God, keep my house safe. I got a little mezuzah on the door. Every day I leave, I see that little mezuzah. May the Lord be between me and thee when we're absent one from another. Bless my going out. Bless my coming in. Here is the Lord thy God. The Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. I get a reminder every time I walk out of my house to just ask the Lord to watch over it. Bless my going out. Bless my coming in. Take care of it all when I'm gone. And bring me back to it safely at the end of the day. Amen. Don't you let the book of this law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be prosperous and successful. How? Here's a question for the kids ministry. How then are you going to be successful, Mr. Smarty Pants? I know you're going to miss these guys, but we won't be having, you know, kids church on the screen anymore. I know y'all are disappointed. You got to listen to me and that's it. But they'll be doing the kids' church. Why? Because we ain't scared. We're gonna separate the chairs, use the mask, use the sanitizers, but our kids are coming back to church. Come on, somebody. So I got a question. How in the world can I be prosperous and successful? I don't want to just have a chunk of money. How can I be prosperous and successful? I just don't want to be successful and be broke. How can I be prosperous and successful? Well, the answer is found in the word there. Don't you let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to what? To do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Come on, man. Come on. Y'all ought to just be knocking it out of the park this morning. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, I pray right now for the people of God. I pray right now for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be shaken and awakened, God. Let us come to the reality of our own destiny and our promises fulfilled. Let us be strong, Lord. Let us be courageous, Lord, sensitive to the assignments that you have placed upon our lives as people of God, sensitive to the assignment of the Spirit of God in our lives, alert and aware of the schemes of the devil, of the ugly plans that he has for us to shut us down, to silence us. But Lord, awaken us to a confidence that strongholds can be broken. Let me pray that again. Awaken us to a confidence that strongholds can be broken. They can be torn down. And that a new season and a new day for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ dawns for those who place their trust in the living God. He's not dead. He's very much alive. Lord, we thank you today for inspiring us, for encouraging us, for equipping us to be a better people of God than we've ever been. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Can I just tell you, the devil has always opposed the work of God. I've witnessed that all of my life, more specifically in ministry life. He hates the work of the kingdom, and he opposes it, trying his best to tear down every kingdom effort. And to make it more personal, he tries to tear you down. Amen? He tries to discourage you. He tries to get your eyes off of God's blessing and his favor and his provision and get your eyes onto your circumstances. I just enjoyed a wonderful time away with my wife. Jesus, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, Jesus often withdrew himself to lonely places and prayed. That's what I did. I went to a lonely place. I went to the mountains of North Carolina and the mountains of Virginia. Lonely place. Not a lot of people around. Just roamed, you know, no agenda, just roamed the roads and found little spots that were interesting, little old stone mills, you know, where they grind the flour. Just a lonely place. Went to Mayberry, North Carolina, down there in Andy Griffith country. You know, listen, only to be disappointed that they never filmed a single episode in Mount Airy, North Carolina. That's not Mayberry. None of that stuff was ever filmed there. It was all filmed in Desilu Studios in California. So the sheriff's office is not the real, no, it's not the real one. So Andy didn't walk the streets, you know, filming the thing with the sheriff's office, and Otis didn't come to town drunk in Mayberry. No. None of that's true. Why do they tell you that the first day on the tour? We're riding in the sheriff's car. Man, this is the real car that Barney rode around in and Andy? Nope. It's just a replica. The guy that owns this one owns seven more just like it. He's just making money off of people like you. Who want to get in and say, I rode in the car, you know, the real car. They tell you all the story. And I said, man, how disappointing. So no episode of Andy Griffith was ever filmed in North Carolina, in Mount Airy? Nope. All of it was done in California. Wow. Let's just go home. But he did grow up here. Okay. All right. Guess who grew up in Ahoskie? Jim Henson, the guy who created Kermit the Frog. Come on. So you're living in the town where Jim Henson lived, who created Kermit the Frog. Did you know that? Why don't we start a business about Muppets or something like that and make the things go well in this town? Let everybody come and see the real place where Kermit was born. He was born right there. I mean, just an idea. Come on, just an idea. Did you hear carpenter shop starting a new business? Yeah, they're bringing people to town to look where a frog was born. Come on, let's do something crazy, okay? So anyway, but I found myself in a lonely place to pray. Mayberry, I still enjoyed it. I still went to everything. I went to the museum. I spent the whole day in Mayberry. I ate at the cafes, you know, the little places down the street, and had a blast. Why? Because I removed myself to a lonely place. And I removed myself to a lonely place after a season of 40 days and fasting and praying and seeking God. And then as soon as I get back home, woo! Kidney stones hit me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I say, oh, I know you. You're a familiar spirit. I've visited you before. And from 3 o'clock in the morning till about 11 o'clock the next day, I fought and sweated and fought and sweated and prayed and spoke in tongues. And guess what? The stone didn't go away. Sometimes, how many of you know, you can pray. I prayed tongues I never prayed before. Come on. I prayed languages I never learned before. I prayed and I bound and I cursed and I did everything. And guess what? The stone's still there. Amen? So are you going to not trust God? No. While you were praying this morning about what you were praying about, I was praying, God, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I don't want to go into surgery this coming Wednesday. I want to let that stone be released from my body. I don't want to go to Greenville to the hospital. I want to go to the bathroom and pee this thing out. There it is. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Amen. And so until they put me under on Wednesday morning, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. So I'm going to believe all the way up to the end. And you know what? If the Lord wants me to pass it, I've passed them before. I've been that way before. I've passed stones before. But this one I may not pass. I've had them surgically removed. I've been through two surgeries you didn't know anything about. I was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days. Never told anybody. Why? Because I had a stone removed. And right now I'm supposed to have one removed Wednesday unless I pass. Well, why aren't you home? Because I ain't quitting. Why would I stay home? Because I got a kidney stone. Well, pray for me. I'm not doing too good. No, I'm doing very good. I'm on top of things this morning. I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you there's a destiny that God has assigned to your life, and you better march forward and stay connected to the divine plans that God has for you so you won't miss out. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's in control. He's in control. And sometime you just need to remove yourself to a lonely place and get a fresh revelation of who God is to you and what He has planned for your life. Can I get somebody to say amen? Amen. The devil has always opposed the work of God. He's always opposed you. And you know why he opposes you? Just think for a minute. Let's ask questions, Dr. Smarty Pants. Do you know why that the devil opposes you? Because you and I, hear me now, this is one of the best questions that will ever come up this morning. Why does the devil oppose you so much? Because you and I, say you and I, are the kingdom of God. He opposes you because you and I are the kingdom of God. You say, well, how? Well, listen, hey, help me here. What do you mean by that? Luke chapter 17. Verses 20 to 21, the Bible says there was a time when the Pharisees came up with questions. Come on. Questions for Jesus. When the kingdom would come. You read the story. Jesus gives them an answer. He replies, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Verse 21, nor will people say, oh, here's the kingdom, or there's the kingdom. Why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus said, these are his words, not mine. Jesus said, because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That's why God had this thing planned from the very foundation. This is not plan B for God. This is the plan that God had, that the kingdom of God would be in us. This is not rocket science, beloved. It's foundational principles of the rule of God. God is a spirit. He has revealed himself to us through the word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, all the way to the end of Revelation. He's revealed himself. God has revealed himself in his word. Amen? And in Genesis, he's the creator God. Come on. In Exodus, he's the great redeemer. Come on, somebody. In Leviticus, he's your sanctification. In Numbers, he's your guide. In Deuteronomy, he's your great teacher. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord of hosts. Come on. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord of hosts. In Judges, he's victory over your enemies. In Ruth, he's your kinsman, your lover, your redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he's the root of Jesse. In 2 Samuel, he's the son of David. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. In 1 Chronicles, he's your intercessor. In 2 Chronicles, he's your high priest. In Ezra, he's the temple, the house of the living God. In Nehemiah, he's your mighty wall. Come on, somebody. Protecting you. In Esther, he stands in the gap to deliver you from your enemies. In Job, he's the arbitrator who not only understands your struggles, but has the power to do something about them. In Psalms, he's your song and the very reason that you sing. In Proverbs, he's your wisdom. He's helping you make sense out of life and live it successfully. In Ecclesiastes, he's your purpose, delivering you from vanity. In the Song of Solomon, he's your lover, the rose of Sharon, if you will. In Isaiah, he's your mighty counselor, your prince of peace, your mighty God, your everlasting father. In Jeremiah, he's the balm in Gilead, that soothing salve for your sin-sick soul. In Lamentations, he's an ever-faithful one that you can depend on. In Ezekiel, he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Come on now. In Daniel, he's the Ancient of Days. In Hosea, he's your faithful lover, always beckoning you to come on back. In Joel, he's your refuge, keeping you safe in the times of trouble. In Obadiah, he's the Lord of the kingdom. In Jonah, he's your salvation, bringing you back to the center of his divine will for your life. In Micah, he's the judge of the nations. In Nahum, he's a jealous God. In Habakkuk, he's the Holy One. In Zephaniah, he's the witness. In Haggai, he overthrows the enemies. In Zechariah, he's the Lord of hosts. hosts in Malachi. He's the Lord who does not change. In Matthew, he's the King of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, he's the Son of God. Come on now. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he's the rock that followed Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he's the triumphal one, giving victory. In Galatians, he's your liberty that sets you free. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's your joy. In Colossians, he's your completeness. In 1 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 2 Thessalonians, he is your glory. In 1 Timothy, he's your faith. In 2 Timothy, he's your stability. In Titus, he's the Savior. In Philemon, he's your benefactor. In Hebrews, he's your perfection. In James, he's the power behind all of that faith. In 1 Peter, he's your example. In 2 Peter, he's your purity. In 1 John, he's your life. 2 John, he's your pattern. In 3 John, he's your motivation. In Jude, he's the foundation of your very faith. And in Revelation, he is your coming King. Come on, somebody. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the soon coming King, the soon coming King. Oh, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, whose name is Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You're nothing without Jesus. Let me just tell you that. Nothing without Jesus. Listen, friends, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Amen. Jesus said this. His word affirms it. Paul reminded you of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's where God lives, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You are bought with the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He set you free from sin and death. Give him praise this morning. And if the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God's kingdom is in you, manifesting all the characteristics of the King of the kingdom of your life, then your life should make a difference where you live. Come on. You should be the salt of the earth. You are called by God to season this earth. You are called by God to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You set the foundation. Pastor Noli stepped up on the platform this morning and began to declare there is a shifting taking place right now. If he could have just walked up here and just, well, good to have you guys here today. Let's just pray. God bless the service. Help us to have a great day in Jesus' name. Nothing would have happened. But he stepped in and said, declared from his mouth, there's a shift taking place right now in the atmosphere. And that shift began to move and that shift began to take place. And for the first time, the spiritual gifts that God loves and desires were manifested from somebody for the very first time. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in you this morning. The kingdom of God is inside of you. Amen. What do you think I did in the mountains? Just eat a bunch and lay around and do nothing? No, we prayed and sang and listened to what God is saying to us in everyday life. Time to get along with God. Time to remove ourselves to a lonely place and seek God and pray and ask him, what are you doing next, God? Where do I go next? How long do I stay? When do I leave? Asking God all the questions. Because you know what? God knows the answer to all those questions, Mr. Smarty Pants. Amen? God knows the answers to all those questions. And we are to bring his presence. Listen to me. Don't miss this. We are to bring, if the kingdom of God is in us, then we are to bring his presence, hold on here, and his nature. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. God is patience. God is kind. God is gentle. Amen. Come on. We are to bring his, he's blessing us so much, the offering bucket's turned over and money's rolling all down the row. Come on. Roll on down the aisle there. Roll on down the aisle, money. I declare there'll be more money in the bucket when you pick it up than it was when you started. Come on. You and I are to bring, here we go, his presence and his nature to the earth. When Jesus left this earth, he gave us the earnest of the Spirit. I do a little real estate work, and when people buy a house, you know what they do? They say, do I have to put anything down? Yeah, we want some earnest money. What is earnest money? Earnest money is a declaration from your pocketbook that you are serious about buying this $300,000 house. Well, how much do I have to pay? Just give us $1,000. Make a check payable to Ernie Carter's law firm or whoever we're dealing with. It's earnest money. Can I just tell you something? The earnest money lets the people know you're serious, okay? You mean business here. God has given us the earnest, come on now, of the Spirit. What does that mean? He's given us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given us just a deposit that he's going to be with you when he poured out his Spirit. He's given you the earnest of the Spirit, that his Spirit will always abide with you, that it's a done deal, that you will close on time, that everything's going to work out just right. He's given you the earnest of the Spirit. And when he left, he declared, you know what? I got to go. I must go. He went on to say, if I don't, then the Spirit cannot come. And the disciples were troubled. Man, you'd be troubled too if you followed a man down on planet Earth who opens blinded eyes, raises the dead, and creates buffet meals out of a little boy's lunch. You'd be scared too. They were troubled. But Jesus says what? Hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive myself unto you, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have to be scared when the Spirit of God is inside of you. Amen? You don't have to be scared. He's given you the earnest of the Spirit. And he says to the church when he leaves them, the Bible says, you read the story, the Bible says he goes out in the vicinity and lifts up his hands, and all they're looking at is the heels of his feet because he leaves. But he didn't leave them without instruction. What did he say to them? You need to tarry into Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Power translated what? Dynamics. Divine skills, abilities. You need to tarry into Jerusalem until you be endued with the dynamics that you'll need to be what I've called you to be. Y'all got this? I know I'm going 90 miles an hour, but it's all right. I'll slow down in a little bit, and then I'll be hungry. All right? He said, you tarry into Jerusalem, that you may be endued with the dynamics that are from on high. Why? Because you're the salt of the earth. And in order to be able to season this earth with my glory, you're going to need my dynamics inside of you. Are y'all getting this? I've been preaching this same message for 29 years. I hope you got it by now. I remember when I came to Carpenter Shop, they asked me, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I just preach simple things. I believe in the kingdom of God and our compassionate pursuit of that. I don't specialize in any certain area. I believe in the kingdom of God and his church, and I'm going to preach that faithfully all the way to the end. Amen? If you're looking for something else, I'm not your guy, but I believe in the kingdom of God. And this is a big place. The earth is a big place. And the Lord has told us here, listen, you're the salt of this earth. You're the light on the hill. And listen, this is a New Testament fulfillment of a covenant that he swore to his forefathers. It all began with Moses, and when Moses dies, he raised up Joshua. And he said to Joshua some powerful things that he's saying to you and to I today. It's not about the Holy Land or the Promised Land. It's about your Promised Land, okay? This is your Promised Land where people are getting killed now, okay? Where people are getting run over and shot. Used to happen all the time in the big cities, but guess what? Welcome home, crime. You've come right to our front yard. Listen, every place in America now is plagued with sin and ungodliness and crime and degradation and ugliness. And you can't escape it. You can go anywhere you want to go. I thought you said you had a peaceful time in the mountains. I did, but I was just there for a couple of days. If I hung around there long enough, I guarantee you somebody get busted, somebody get shot, somebody get run over. Because you show up as a stranger and a guest and you don't know nothing about the community. But everybody has problems. Why? Because the earth is in trouble. The earth is in trouble because she needs a Savior. The earth is the Lord's, the Bible says. Who's it belong to? Belongs to God. Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. My goodness, I done gone back to the King James. And this is the region that God has planted you and I in. I've been fighting for this for 29 years. I've been fighting for God to raise up a house of worship, to raise up a church that will just move forward no matter what. And I applaud you for being here today. God bless you. I thank you for being here. I thank you for being faithful with your tithes and your offerings. I thank you for being faithful in prayer and praying for me as the leader of this house. Pray for me more than you've ever prayed for me. Why? Because I need the wisdom of God, not the foolishness of man. I need the directives of God, not being coerced and influenced by other people. I need God's help. And if you're called by God to this church, then guess what you're called to do? Get involved. Why don't you find your way over to Pastor Miranda here at the after the service and say, hey, so you're opening up kids' church. Is there something I can do to help you? Well, certainly there is. I'm not a kids worker. Hey, just write a check. Okay? Just give money to kids' ministry. Because whether you know it or not, just because of the pandemic, you know what we've done with kids' ministry? We've spent more money. We've put bags together every week so that your kids have something to take home and keep them happy while they're on the pews. We've invested more in equipment and time and technology. And we've done everything we can do to make sure we're doing the very best we can do where we are. I was in a church just not too long ago that was really disheartening to me. It was a church that would hold a lot of people. And when I showed up and took a seat, guess what I discovered? There was not a lot of people there. And I thoroughly enjoyed the service. I saw God do miracles. I saw God do incredible things. I heard a powerful word, a message from the Word of God. But my heart was still sad when I left the place. And it was only sad because of one thing. Because a lot of people had checked out. I beg you, I plead with you, don't check out. Be more faithful than you've ever been before. If you're listening to me online, beloved, I'm telling you, I'm calling you back to the house of God. Come on home. Come on to the place where God has placed in your heart and your spirit. That's my church. I've had people say this to me more since March than I've ever heard it before. Pastor, I'm still with you. I know I'm not there, but you're still my pastor. Oh, really? Really? I didn't know that. I haven't seen you in a while. I know, but I just don't want nothing to do with this virus. You don't have to have anything to do with this virus. There's people sitting here. Maybe you've already had the virus. I don't know. Maybe you've been tested. Maybe you haven't been tested. But I know this for sure is the will of God for every person sitting here and every person under the sound of my voice. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And He's called you to trust in Him, not in the message of this world. You can't trust the world. You can't trust the world. You cannot trust the world. You can only trust God. You can't trust me. You can only trust God. You say, well, Pastor, I love you, man. I respect you. Yeah, but in the end of the day, there's no one you can trust like you can trust Jesus. Amen? I do the very, very, very best that I can to live a godly example in front of you and behind you. I do my very best to do the very best that I can do. But you know what? I'm human. I'm of the framework of the dirt, and I'm capable of making mistakes. And so if I've offended you, or maybe I said something this morning that kind of got in your cornflakes, I didn't mean to, okay? I didn't mean to. I'm just sharing my heart. I'm on an assignment. I'm placed here by God Almighty, who sent me here 29 years ago. And my mission is to do the will of God in my life and the life of this church. Amen? That's my mission. And when you come in here and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you know what you did? You just approved and affirmed that you're a participator in this mission. We're still giving to missions. We haven't slacked off. We're still giving to missions. We've never missed a single missions offering or payment. We pay every person that comes through here and ministers. We bless them amazingly. When we just had that little revival just a few weeks ago, God, listen, I started to cancel that thing. I thought, I don't know if we should have revival or not. That's stupid. We didn't cancel revival. We paid for the airline tickets. We paid for the hotels. We paid for some of the meals. We paid for the rental car. And then the man walked away from here with thousands of dollars to throw into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you put the money in the bucket. Nobody begged you for anything. Nobody begged you, please, we have to have a well. They're not going to drink anything tomorrow if you don't give to this well. No. Said, if this is what we're doing, if you want to help, there's the bucket. And God used you to be a blessing to people that you don't even know, because they're going to be drinking water in just a few weeks from wells they never had before. It's called the work of the kingdom. Amen? It's called the work of the kingdom. I'm coming to a close. I realize I've been preaching longer than I used to preach. This is the region God planted you in. It wasn't but a few months ago. I'm coming to a close here. Come on, musicians. That way I'll quit quicker. Just remember, I didn't preach last week, okay? Give me a break. I remember just a few months ago, I invited a relatively well-known person to come to this area, not to preach, but just to hang out. We have a property that God has blessed us with to be able to invest into leaders who are weary. We're redoing that whole thing right now. We've spent just about $50,000, right at $50,000 in the last couple of months on that house. We're giving it a brand new look, all the way back to the studs and the joists, new roof, new everything. Why? Because the phone has rung more since this pandemic. Hey, I heard you had a place. I heard you had a place we could go and kind of get some rest. We just need a break, man. We're stressed out. I said, well, during the pandemic, we decided to take a break from that and just pour into that facility and make it better. And so we're renovating it. We're just trusting God to help us to get through and everything new, right on down to, well, we got refrigerator, but no, we're going to get a new refrigerator. Why? Because God's choice leaders deserve better. We got an old refrigerator. It's been in there 12 years, and it was probably 12 years old when we got it. So we're getting a new refrigerator and a new washer and a new dryer and all these other things. And so I bring leaders in here sometime that nobody has a clue about. I could call names if I was a name-dropping preacher. I could call some names of some people that have slept in our Barnabas bed that you'd say, oh, are you serious? Can I go touch the sheets? No. He stayed there. I've had some choice servants of God to come and rest in our place. And I've listened to some choice servants of God tell me some unbelievable stories of the stress levels that they face and the hardships that they've come into contact with. And so I brought in a person and I let them just camp out at the Barnabas house for about a week. And he said to me, man, I don't know nothing about this place. He said, there ain't nothing here. I said, that's why you're here. There's nothing here. But I said, would you ride with me tomorrow? He said, where are we going? I said, I'm going to take you from one end of this northeast North Carolina region to the other. I said, we're going to start out in Roanoke Rapids on I-95. Why are we going to start there? I said, because in I-95, when you stand on I-95, we went right there by the Randy Parton Theater that was destined to be a great place and went south. They're trying to get it back now. I went to I-95 and stood there right by the I-95 sign. Take a picture. I got a picture with so-and-so that never going to show anybody. And I said, here's the mark right here. 95 and everything east, nobody wants to mess with. Everything west, Capital City, Research Triangle Park, Charlotte, North Carolina, all those other places, that's where everybody wants to go. But I said, here, I'm planted in the east. And here's where you are today, and we're standing here at I-95, right here on the mark. And today we're going to get in our car. I know it's early in the morning. Crazy thing to get up early in the morning at 5:30, 6 o'clock and drive slam to Roanoke Rapids to stand in front of a sign. But there's a purpose in this. Because as we left Roanoke Rapids, I stopped to every little place, every little county. See, here we are in Northampton. Let's go to Jackson. And we walked around the courthouse in Jackson. We laid our hands on the courthouse. We laid our hands on the building and leaned up against that courthouse. And we bound devils and bound demons and did all kinds of things. Got in the car and we drive over to the next county. Let's go to Murfreesboro. Here's the county seat here. Let's go to Murfreesboro. Let's ride over to Winton. And we go to Winton and we walk around the courthouse in Winton and we lay hands on the building. We pour a little oil on the bricks. And I did that all day long in every little place that God has placed on my heart. And I went to, anybody ever been down Indian Woods Road in Bertie County? Come on, if you have, just tell me. Indian Woods Road. If you should drive down Indian Woods Road sometime, the most impoverished, forgotten highway in the whole of Bertie County. Ride down Indian Woods Road and you'll look over to the right and you'll see a house in the woods that sat there and rotted down. Look over to the left. There's another house that's in the woods. And isn't there a house? Yeah, there's a house. Man, that must have been a beautiful house. It was in its day, but guess what's happened? It's rotten down. People have walked away from it. Maybe a family dispute. Who knows? Nobody could probably tell you the story. But Indian Woods Road, one of the most impoverished roads in all of Bertie County. And we went all the way. I kept on going all day long, man. Just grab a sandwich. We call it choke and go. We're on the road. Okay. Not going to sit down and have a hot meal. We're going to do a choke and go. Number two, fries, please. Diet Coke. A little extra ice. Just keep on going. And we rode all over Northeast North Carolina, anointing courthouses, pouring oil down the bricks of the courthouse. And we just went all over Northeastern North Carolina. And went all the way down toward the Outer Banks. Finished up that evening. It was getting late. And I said, honestly, man, I feel like a dish rag. This great missionary evangelist traveling through our territory, Perquimans, Chowan, Bertie, Hertford, Northampton, Halifax, Gates, Pasquotank. I said, man, I feel like a dish rag. We stood there and he said, how could you not? He said, all I saw today was poverty. All I saw today was oppression. All I saw today was like what I picture is like a balloon that had lost its inflation. It was deflated. It was empty. But we began to cry. And I said, but you know what? This is where God has planted me. I remember one time preaching in Florida. I remember one time preaching in Florida, and I was preaching at a fairly large church, and they had seen me on TBN program and asked me to come and share my story. And I was preaching, and I preached there for 3 nights. And the pastor came up to me, and he said, hey, he said, I hate to tell you this, but he said, there's a group that's here and they're after you. I said, what do you mean? He said, they saw in the social media and on the paper that you were going to be here and they heard about you. They saw you on the Praise the Lord program and they're looking for a pastor, and somebody said they felt like you were their pastor. And so they're coming. So 16 people walked in the middle of that revival and sat down on the second and third pew. And when the service was over, they came right to me and said, hey, can we talk? And I was pastoring this church at the time. Hey, can we talk? And I said, sure. I said, what do you want to talk about? They said, we'd love to have you as our pastor. And our pastor's salary is about $90,000 a year. And then we take care of all of his benefits. And we have a nice home. And started listing off all these things. I said, I can't be your pastor. He said, why not? Is this pot not sweet enough? I said, no, it's not about that. I said, the fact of the matter is, I'm serving in a place in North Carolina that you don't know anything about. And the only reason I'm there is because God called me there. And for me to be out of God's plan, I don't care what kind of price tag you put on it or sweeten it, as you say, but I'd be one miserable human being outside of the will of God. So I appreciate your opportunity to come and pastor a church right off the interstate in Jacksonville, Florida. but that's not God's will for me. He said, well, you say that with a lot of confidence. I said, I know of whom I speak. And so, is there anything we can do, Pastor Phillips? We've watched you. We've been watching you on your church website. We've listened to you preach. We like your candid and honest ways. You're very straightforward. And we love the diversity piece. That's what we want to see happen in our church. I said, well, it's not me. You have to look for somebody else. So God's called me where? A Husky, North Carolina. A land that is laughed at by many, criticized by many. And I felt like a dish rag when I had gone from one end of this terrain to the other in this place we call Northeast North Carolina. But I got a fresh revelation of what God is looking for out of my life. We're to raise the standards of righteousness, and we're to fan the flames of the fire in Northeastern North Carolina. And he spoke to me, this evangelist spoke to me, and he said, you know what you are, Wallace Phillips? I said, what's that? He said, you're just wood for the fire. I said, what? He said, you're just wood for the fire. And he began to pray and began to prophetically speak and cry over my life. He said, you're wood for the fire. And he said, God's going to do this thing, man. I said this morning, man, I'm excited about church. I'm excited about getting back to church. And I can't wait to just get in there in the presence of God. And that's why I turned around to y'all this morning and said, come on, man, wake up the dead. Because y'all are looking like a group of Catholics that are afraid to say anything in the church this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us lift up hands. When you come into his house, come into him with something to bring to him. The sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks unto his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. But I understand what it's like. You've been working all week. You're tired, and you're living in the COVID crisis. And so you feel like a dish rag when you walk in, don't you? But everything is supposed to change when you come into this place. Everything. You're supposed to leave here today encouraged, built up, challenged, inspired to look at your region in a way that you've never looked at it before, to pray and believe that the spiritual gifts, let me just tell you something, that's just a spot of what God has assigned to your life. I'll never forget the day I met you. A woman coming running in the church, demonized, scared to death because there's something loose in her house. And I didn't run to your house. I said, let me do something for you. I gave you a bottle of oil. And I went and sat down and I printed out, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. I printed out a prayer and I gave it to her and I said, you take this oil and you go to your house and you anoint your house with oil and you run through your house and screaming this prayer from the top of your lungs and run that devil out of your house. Little did I know that God would raise up a Kaisha who sings, has a nice job, works at the Beechwood Country Club, waiting on tables, serving God's people. Okay? Little did I know that God would have his hand on her and open up job possibilities for her and cause her to be on the platform singing. And when I listened to the first song you sang, I said, she don't sing too good. Silent Night, Holy Night. Sent me a little clip. I said, can you send me a little bit of a song? Let me see if you can sing. I thought, ooh, that's kind of rough. And look at what God's done. Come on. Look at what God's done. Let me tell you, it's the people like Kaisha and the people like Daryl and Andy and Matthew and Tyler and Joshua and Brittany. It's the people like that that God wants to just mold and shape. Hang on to where you are. Hang on to where you are. There's a calling on your life. My wife and I were in the mountains this past week praying about you. My wife and I were in the mountains praying about you, Brittany. And Joy was just feeding me information. I said, oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. She said, I can just see it every time she comes to church. The call of God is resting down upon your life, and you're waiting for that match that God has for you. The man, listen, the man that God will have that will not fight you on your calling that you know you've got on your life, but will nurture it and share it with you. If I'm missing it, just tell me I'm a fruitcake, okay? God's got his hand on your life, okay? Matter of fact, just stand right on up right there where you are and just begin to worship him. Just begin to worship him. God's going to touch you right where you are. God's going to touch you right where you are. Come on, church, stand up together. Just look at Joshua one more time. Man, I could preach another half hour, but I'm not. Verse number 3, Joshua's the word to Joshua, I will give you every place you set your foot. Verse number 5, nobody will be able to stand up against you. This is the promise for the church. Nobody going to be able to stand up against you, Wallace Phillips. Carpenter Shop Church, Bernie Hurdle, Joshua Blevins, Brittany Evans. Nobody's going to be able to stand up against you. Be strong. Be courageous, because you're going to lead people to receive their inheritance. Be strong and be very courageous and obedient to his principles. Verse number 8, meditate on these things day and night. God, I just thank you for stirring the gifts today. You'll spend it. Lord, I just thank you for releasing the gifts of the Spirit in my life. Give me more, Lord. Trust me with more. Give me tongues. Give me the interpretation. Speak prophetically to me in that restaurant so that I can go over and just quietly whisper a prayer to somebody who's going through hell on earth. Speak to me in the Spirit. Meditate on these things day and night. Don't let them depart from your mouth. Verse 9. Don't be terrified. Don't stay home. Don't tuck under. Don't buckle under. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go, from Halifax to the coastal waters, from I-95 to the beach. This is the territory that God has placed us. All the stats tell us that it's impoverished, but the Lord says it's prosperous. All the stats tell us it's oppressed, but the Lord says it's possessed by the presence of God and the power of the Spirit. All the stats tell us that it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There are the churches yet to be established, ministries yet to be revitalized, people standing in here who need to hear the Lord calling them out of what they're doing right now into a gospel ministry to preach, to teach, to do missions work. You've got to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart to challenge you to go to a different place with him. I close with this last story. Several years ago, probably 15 years ago, a man whom I respected greatly was a leader here in this community. His name was Jim Bain. He was director of the health department. Anybody know Mr. Jim Bain, Jim and Mary Bain? He was the director of the health department. He came up to me one day and he said, Pastor Wallace, he said, you know, Mary and I are leaving this area. We're moving to Rocky Mount, city on the rise. I said, yeah, I understand that. He put his hand across my back and just patted my shoulder. He said, cut your losses, my friend. Cut your losses. A Husky never will be anything. Yeah, I've been here 30 years. I've been fighting this battle. It's all been uphill. Just cut your losses and move somewhere that's better than this. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. I said, Brother Jim, I beg to differ with you. I said, I'm believing God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God. They said there's nothing good could come out of Nazareth. I'm believing that God's going to have a church here that's just going to make a difference, be a light and a beam of hope to this community. I'm believing God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And he laughed. He said, well, I guess you just got it in your heart. I said, yes, I do. This is the territory God has placed us. Joel Osteen said this. He said, you prophesy your future. You start announcing freedom over anything that's holding you back. Speak to your area about freedom from addictions, freedom from struggles, freedom from lack, freedom from depression, because your words are setting the very direction of your life and ministry and the way in which it will head. That's what Joel Osteen said. Oh, I don't like Joel Osteen. Well, I do. Get over it. Okay? God wants to do something, friends. He wants to do something. And guess what? He wants to use you in the process. Amen? I just wish I could get a few people just to come and stand in his presence and declare victory and not defeat. Come on. Just come out of your seat as they worship the Lord this morning. Just come out of your seat and move on in close and just lift up your hands and access the power of the Spirit of God. Come on. Just stand in his presence for just a few minutes. Let's just believe God together. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. He wants to transform this territory. It is a spiritual assignment. It's a spiritual assignment. A spiritual assignment. Come on, just lift your hands and love Him as they worship this morning. Hallelujah.
Out from the depths into your freedom.
Yes, Lord.
Our freedom. Chains are gone.
Freedom, Lord.
And no weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We overcome.
Come on, I need some folks to just come and lay your hands on the back of these people. Come on, just lay your hands on them. You don't have to get in their face. Just lay your hands on them. Just believe God with them. Stir the fire this morning, Lord.
Your glory
fan the fire this morning, God.
Through the age.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All saints declare.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your great
Hallelujah.
Renown.
Thank you, Lord.
Your kingdom forever will stay. It will be shaking.
Hallelujah.
We will not fear.
Hallelujah.
Our God, a mighty warrior.
He's a mighty warrior.
He's a consuming fire. In victory we triumph in your name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, the great commander.
Great commander. Triumph in your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God.
Come on and sing. Glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring His great renown. His kingdom forever will stand.
We won't be shaken.
There's no other above you. There's no other above you. There's
Your people. Help us, God, with your power, your abilities, your divine nature, your character, your directives to conquer this land that you placed us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise, would you? Hallelujah. Please be safe as you leave today. Listen, keep an eye on social media this week. We are awaiting a word. We've gotten word Friday that we're supposed to be able to give away 1,300 boxes of meat, produce, and fruits and vegetables from the parking lot here on Thursday. We will post it online so you will know. I need some help, okay? We need some help. We need some people who can volunteer and come out 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. Just watch social media. As soon as I get a word from them tomorrow, I will post that, and we believe in that's going to happen. Every Thursday in October, food given away from this campus. God bless you guys. Ladies, don't forget, go by, sign up for Leap Into Love. Get your mug. Sign up for Leap Into Love. Get on board. Don't forget, Wednesdays in October, we go back to in-person services right here on Wednesday night's Bible study, Wednesday night kids ministry. Monday night Bible study begins the 12th. With Mary Harper continuing in the book of Romans. So God bless you guys. Stay safe. We love you. God bless you.